Well, cheers, guys, everybody.
Are we celebrating something?
Can I give me wine?
Are we celebrating something?
What are we celebrating?
Inter won in the Scudetto, dude.
No, they did.
Look at Peter does this.
I celebrated a long time ago.
You celebrate, dude?
Cheers to Inter win the Scudetto.
Too late, buddy.
Congratulations. You deserve it.
Don't go too fast.
What do you mean too fast?
Peter already made the cards.
It's only 4 points. Scudetto winners.
We bought him the card with the congratulations.
Don't copy my jokes, Anton. Okay?
That's an invite to the party, to the celebration. Welcome back, everybody.
The cheese is good, man.
To the podcast. Cheese is good, right?
We should do a podcast of cheese.
Honestly, how do we not start every single podcast with some cheese?
This is the best.
With some
wine and cheese.
Parmigiano Reggiano.
Wine and cheese.
How many months age is that? 24?
24 months.
Mm-hmm. From where?
Parma.
From Parma.
He was like, I found it in the back of my back cupboard.
You did say it was in your office for a little while.
26 months. Even things are better than before.
Whatever it was, it's good.
No, they brought it to me from Italy, and I left it in the office.
Nice.
And then
from time to time, I need to come and visit you to find out they don't forget something else.
Tonight, I saw it. Said, what is this thing doing here? So I decided, what a
this
nice
good.
Place.
Excellent idea.
Good idea.
I don't want to eat it in the car before he came in.
And now we talk some Serie A.
It's good. If you're lactose intolerant,
I like that.
Yes. Oh, yeah, that's true.
If you're what?
The enzymes.
Lactose intolerant.
Interesting.
Oh. Yeah. Pete, we have not had this entire crew all together. We either had just you, and Mike was gone, and my dad was gone.
For like 18 months, right?
I think it's the first time this year.
Longer than the cheese.
It's nice to have everybody back.
Yes, it is.
That's right.
It's nice to be back.
Meow.
And what a day to come back.
Oh, all together. Yeah, we're starting. That's too bad.
Year, Milan and Juventus fans, there, it's like a brotherhood all of a sudden, but...
You guys want more?
I love Juventus. I love Juventus.
I thought you never asked.
You love Juventus?
I love the Juventus.
I love, in the past. Love.
On the past.
Not present tense, right?
Yeah.
Don't confuse your followers.
Anto's eyeing that cheese, the last piece of cheese.
Go take it, Anto.
Go for it, buddy.
You don't have much to celebrate these days anyway. Might as well eat your
have some good cheese
away.
At least,
I
right?
need to lose weight.
You look beautiful, Anto.
I still have some Christmas parties and new weddings, New Year's Eves, and... I still haven't got back to my top shape.
Playing so
why don't
pickleball.
We talk about soccer? Oh, let's pickleball. Go. Pickleball. They play pickleball.
I heard you guys lost.
What else is new?
I just heard. I don't know.
You guys winning who? Mark and Mike?
I don't know.
I never lose.
No, you.
Yeah, okay.
I don't lose pickleball.
Guys, I'm going to ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
Start out with this topic. Who is the most improved player from last season to this season?
Not Kvaratskhelia.
Jovic.
No,
that's true.
Yeah,
not who I'm thinking. I got a guy in mind.
Yeah. I'm not gonna say because we posted
from Çalhanoğlu.
That's a good one too.
No, he was good already last year.
He was good,
but that's not who I have in mind. I don't think the most improved.
Tell me the team in which team he plays.
let him get one more guess.
I would say
who
Jovic.
You thinking?
Jovic sucked last year. He's doing very well. He's sitting on the bench. He's coming big for us.
That you have anybody in mind? Who's the first player that you think has improved the most?
Oh, CDK.
CDK. Is Charles de Catalana the most improved player this season?
Unbelievable.
He has been on a tear.
How about Pellegrini too? My dad.
Not as much as CDK.
He only has 5 goals. So CDK's numbers, this is ridiculous. And now I'm going to say something crazy and then I'll justify it. CDK is the most informed player in Europe after Kylian Mbappe. And let me justify that. Since December... The only player with more goal involvements is Mbappe. CDK has 7 goals, 5 assists since December, from December to now.
Wow. More than Lautaro.
Yes. Giroud, more than Vlahovic, more than anyone else.
So it's safe to say that Atalanta are going to pull that buyout clause.
Well, they have the contract already written. It's 22 million that they could activate, which surely at this point they will.
Yeah, for sure.
But my question really is, what does this come down to? Is it... We know that Gasperini is amazing at improving players, especially attacking players. He puts them in a better position to succeed. Or is it more Milan didn't give him time / there's too much pressure at San Siro? What do you think?
There's definitely too much pressure at San Siro. And if you don't perform, the next game you're out. There's so many players because you're on a top team. At Atlanta...
Don't mind me.
You have more time to, if you make a mistake, if you're on a couple of games, you don't do that well, there's still, you have the time to develop. But the thing that it's interesting about this player is what's his position?
What is his position?
Right, I'll tell you what the position is. Right behind the striker.
But he's not really. He's a little bit closer now.
Like a second striker?
Yeah, now they,
it's
you know,
a falso nueve, mezza punta, and
the way
they're
playing him. They're playing him as up, top, up on top, which I saw him. He's going to the left. He's he comes back. Yeah. Against a ball. But at that point, you're only playing with one forward is Miranchuk.
Because Lukman has not been there. Right. Miranchuk has stepped up big time. Lukman's been doing amazing at AFCON with Nigeria.
Yeah.
So they had to play them too.
Right. So they were playing both up front, but then he would come back. He went to the I think he had the cross. Did he have the assist?
Yes. Yeah, well, he had the pass that led to the assist.
Okay.
It went to Scalvini, and then Scalvini passed it on.
So,
guys,
I think I would... the one that I would give a lot of is to Gasperini. Mm-hmm. Because he gave him... It's difficult to know where to put him. Well, he put him in the right place.
Okay, so then you validated my point that the entire last season, let me just remind you guys.
I don't think you said anything
Maldini, about the Maldini got sacked for making this
be
bad
careful
deal.
With the sacked.
He got sacked. He didn't get sacked. He stepped down. Thank you, Mike. because they said that he made a bad deal about with the Catellare, and they didn't want to actually give him the time for the kid to just settle down and all that stuff.
Antonio.
And Pioli is the second one to be blamed because Pioli did not plug him in and didn't give him the opportunity.
I don't agree with that.
Okay. I don't know.
Okay. I don't agree because when you get somebody for AC Milan or you get somebody for Inter or Juventus, you have to perform right away. There's no time for you to... That's the way it is. If you want to develop, you go to Atalanta.
No,
To get back in shape.
But I think that's a big case too. I think that factor, first of all, him coming from being the wonder boy, all this hype, first season in Serie A, and whatever you can say, he was a flop. He's still a young kid. First time coming in Serie A, which is... obviously, arguably, the toughest league to score in. Coming into San Siro with all this pressure. Now, the second season, he has a little bit more pressure, more under the radar. We already know how good Gasperini is with these youngsters. Knows where to plug them in. He makes them top players. It's the second season in Serie A, so he gets a little bit more comfortable with everything. That, on top of... he doesn't have that instant impact to perform. So I feel like... that pressure off his shoulder made him grow a little bit because he didn't have to feel like, oh, I got to score, I got to do this. And that's why I feel like a few factors why he's thriving over there.
I was just going to say, I mean, going off Gaetano's point, I think the fact that we don't know exactly what position he plays hurt his chances with the Milan team that is this year and last year as well, where, you know, Milan and Pioli's system is a very fixed system as far as where players are supposed to play and how the wingers are supposed to act. Up and down, cutting in to shoot. Whereas in Gasperini, we've seen in the past, he has this flexibility with his, formations where the striker can come all the way down. There was Papu Gomez. I know it's a completely different player than the Catellare, but he had that freedom to roam, the freedom to go and collect the ball, to be in these different areas where... you know, there's kind of like this, I don't know, total football approach as well, where there's a constant rotation.
Similar
of the
to
players.
Inter's style. It's
very
play.
Similar to Inzaghi's
Inter
style.
Not as great talent wise. I think the biggest thing, I listen to a lot of CDK's interviews, and it's the way that he speaks about playing closer to goal. That's different than Milan. So it's a lot of what you guys touched on. It's the belief from Gasperini. And I think he's found the perfect place. I've seen people, Milan fans say, should they bring him back? I think if I'm CDK, there's no way I would go back to Milan to an uncertain environment.
Yes,
if the decision Atalanta comes down to him and Atalanta will want to activate it because 22 million is a pretty good deal for what he's performing right now, I think it's the perfect environment for him. And to add on top of that, Atalanta are doing unbelievable this year as a whole. They're one of those teams that I feel like we consistently overlook, yet they overperform their expectations, their budget, what they usually spend. They have their home form is amazing. 7 shutouts in 12 games. They've got the third most goals in the entire league. They absolutely killed Lazio this weekend. That was maybe the best performance I've seen from Atalanta all year long. They looked amazing, and they're pushing for fourth spot. They're in fourth right now, and I could see them actually getting into Champions League football, which at the beginning of the season, I didn't expect. And now one more reminder, they're missing Lookman, who was their best player of last year. And Scamacca is still a guy that comes in off the bench.
Yeah.
They have some depth in key positions.
And Muriel.
You know what I
Muriel
find?
Is going to Orlando
City.
He's
going to go to MLS.
Get out. It's reported. But
yeah. By the end of the season.
Okay, but it's still
end
a, of the right season. Now. He's there. Yeah, he's on the bench.
We don't know if he'll be there next week, but yeah.
You know what I find crazy?
Next week you said he's gone already? What are you talking about?
Yeah, no. Isn't MLS starting now?
MLS starts now. They right now Orlando has an issue with one of the strikers because the paperwork didn't go through. For a sale, so I don't know exactly if
can they terminate his another. Even though he's on contract with Atalanta and the mercato's closed in Italy.
No, Italy doesn't matter as long as the market is open in America.
For the buyers,
they
right?
can still sell. Yeah. Yes.
Last I saw from Fabrizio Romano, he said they were in advance to do it.
We're talking about all this good stuff for Atalanta and stuff. The thing that I find crazy too, we talked about this in the past with Scamacca. Gasperini had some quotes on him saying that maybe he's not as much of a hard worker as he expected. He doesn't run as much. But for Atalanta, and they're thriving, whatever works for them, works for them. But they're playing, like Gaetano was saying before, they're playing two players that don't play, Miranchuk up front with another player, CDK up front, instead of a real number nine, Scamacca, who comes off the bench. And in the beginning, Scamacca, we thought he was promising, he was starting the game, scoring some goals. But I feel like Gasperini really values that tracking back, that running. And Scamacca seems like he's going to be coming off the bench rather than be a starter. And this is kind of, this affects a lot of things too for that Zuri, for that number nine. Because we're saying when he came back from England, okay, he's getting some confidence in Atalanta. And it kind of flipped on him.
With all due respect to him, like, he doesn't even deserve to be talked about right now in consideration for the striker. He's not performing in Italy. He lost his spot at Atalanta.
The team is doing well, too.
To non-striker.
And Atalanta is doing great. They're doing great without him. So
I find it so crazy.
For me, it's not even a conversation
at
the moment.
Gasperini, to finish up the argument with this Atalanta, Gasperini's got three or four multitasking players, okay? Coop Miner is one of them. Derun is one of them. Derun could become even a defender if he's needed
back,
to be.
Yeah.
Ederson moves all over the place.
So he's got four or five of those guys that they plug
interchangeable.
In any things that Gasperini is asking them, they'll do it without even asking twice.
Let's go on next topic. Mm. There was a rumor. Obviously, we watched the Milan game together that ended in chaotic fashion. But there was a rumor about Leao that's going around. ESPN says PSG's plan to replace Kylian Mbappe with Milan's Leao. Mbappe's future has been decided. He's set to join Real Madrid.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that? You have a release clause of 175 million.
Listen, 175 million for
PSG. He'll sell him for 30
PSG.
Million.
No. Let me. The question is directed to me.
Oh, boy.
Hold on.
I don't know anybody directed
I'm
you.
Not high on
That's
Leao.
What you said yesterday when you were watching the game.
I'm not big on Leao. Give me 175 million. You can have it. I'm not big on
You're
Leao.
You're good with letting him go.
I will let him go.
If they offer 100 million?
No. 175 million is fine.
But if they offer you 100?
150.
Listen, 175.
You're trying to negotiate.
Yesterday was selling him for 50 million.
Let him go. I'm not big on him. He's going to just take the ball 2-3 times down the line and cross the ball. It's not what you've been asked to do.
What are the
You're
rest
supposed
of you guys
to be
think?
Scoring a lot of goals.
No, ultimately, if they even come close to the release clause, that's a move that you
Excellent.
Have to make.
What's
no,
the lowest
Milan.
You take? What's the lowest is the bottom line?
Then we're not going to take less than
listen,
that.
Lowest.
100, what for 100?
No, definitely.
Yeah.
You definitely take
I agree.
I think
100.
For a $70 million transfer
Ooh,
fee,
72?
you're selling him because you're easily going to be able to add two or three very
top players.
Yeah. They should be able to sell Leao for more than Tonali.
Okay, but I'm just saying, as far as numbers, I think even for what Tonali is getting, you're gonna sell him.
Dad, what do you think?
That's true.
You
think? Oh, it's I would for 175. I would have sold
him right
for much less than that.
I put him on my back.
I mean,
and
I saw him and you every comment every time Leao touched the ball, which wasn't not that many times. You said get rid of him.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't want him.
Are we being prisoners of the moment right now?
Are we too caught up
in the exact moment right now where Lau's not doing well, where if he pulls out in Europa League and does amazing, we're going to be like, no, he's a superstar.
No. He could be a superstar.
He has the potential, but he doesn't show it.
A very, very good players. But the players that are superstars, the players that win championships, when the ball passes the midfield, they want the ball and they demand the ball and they get the ball. Leao, he's there. If he gets the ball, he'll get the ball. If he doesn't get the ball, it's okay. No, that's not somebody.
It will take you one on one.
That's not. I have seen. I am watching highlights of all the Champions League finals, Barcelona against Real Madrid, Barcelona against Manchester United. Man, when you see those players, as soon as the ball passes the midfield, they demand the ball and they do something with the ball. And Leao, you know, we're not talking about playing against Real Madrid, Barcelona, yeah. Manchester United. You're talking about Serie A, and he just mentally is not ready. You cannot touch the ball in one half two times, go down the, and every time he touches the ball, he does something.
He loses great. The ball. That the thing that pisses me off the most, when he loses the ball, he stops. He doesn't try to get back and to just fight again get and
rid
all the stuff.
I will, for a 175, I get rid of him tomorrow
Gaetano,
morning.
I just want to see real quickly.
You can get three players for $50 million. That's three champions.
I agree with you on the price, but I want to bring up a player that's similar age, similar position, similar, you could say, downfall from the previous Scudetto winning season with the Kvaratskhelia.
Oh, in a heartbeat.
I'm saying, what do you think? Do you say the same thing? Why isn't he performing as good as last season, the win with the Scudetto?
Kvaratskhelia yesterday, he played amazing.
Yeah, okay, one game, but I'm saying throughout this season.
He played amazing.
Underperforming, right, compared to last season.
With Kvaratskhelia, you have to, there were a lot of changes made at Napoli, okay? You know, the coach, the president, there's always something going on in Naples. But Kvaratskhelia.
Is he better than Leao?
Is he better than Leao?
Overall.
No, he doesn't have the talent of Leao, but he's very good.
He doesn't have the talent of Leao?
I would not get rid of Kvaratskhelia yet. Because
what do you see in him that you don't see in Leao?
Here, this is what I
mentality?
See.
Mentality?
I see the that Kvaratskhelia is trying. You know, he's trying.
Okay.
Sometimes, you know, you're unlucky. You hit the post, the ball could have gone in. You take the shot. He had a lot of chances and he couldn't score. But at least he's trying.
I can see that.
You know, Leao.
He put his head down, right?
Just by looking at him.
His body language.
I think that if Leao turns up in the next couple of matches in a big moment, all of us will change our tune around Leao and say, wow, he's got the world-class talent. Keep him. We want it. Okay, yes, there's two different arguments that are being had. I agree. If you get $175 million, in this kind of market, for what Milan could do with $175 million, with a new coach who's going to be coming in at the end of the year, they need to finance a mercato. All those things are factors. But I still love Leao, and I think Leao is a big player. He's got potential to be a superstar. He's not at that world-class level. He's not at the players that are in Champions League finals that are demanding the ball. He's not there, but he's not as far off as I think you guys are making it seem at right now.
But listen, let me just say something to you. Do you think that, let's say, Conte, it will be stay on the sideline watching Leao walking after you lose the ball or having that kind of a body or attitude?
Yeah. No, Conte will
chew him alive.
Yeah, he
Italiano
let him do that.
Will chew him alive. Thiago Motta will chew him alive. A lot of those coaches that we are wishing that they will be taking over the Pioli's job, they will chew him alive.
So we're making the same.
So
we're making the same.
Pioli too. Well, I fault him. Why doesn't he say something to him? What is he? What is he? Your son? He's been paid a lot of money.
Hold on. Pioli has sent him on the bench. He's
sent him what? One time that he took him out. They didn't sit him on the bench. First of all, he took him out and he put him on the bench while the game was still on for 15, 20 minutes and he got upset. But at the end of the day, he's a starter, this guy here. And he rarely comes out.
But he's the only guy that can do something on
your team.
He comes out
for 5 minutes or 10 minutes.
He's the only guy that can run by a player.
But he doesn't do it. Now we're waiting. So Marco just said it right now.
He does, if he plays two games, he's
supposed to do that all the time.
But he does it once or twice every half.
That's not good.
You got to do it every time.
Every day.
You got the ball. You got to touch the ball a lot more times.
He's not at the world-class level.
You got to do it. But he can.
Okay, he has the ability.
He has the ability that he can do it.
I agree with that. There are also a lot of problems also at Milan with who's going to be the coach.
Right.
And
getting back to Antonio. He had Maldini.
Absolutely.
Ibrahimovic. Pioli. Mm-hmm. They're all on his side. They're all trying to help him. So something.
He did great last year though.
You know.
Last year in their run to get to the Champions League semifinals.
No,
in their push to win the Scudetto.
Yeah,
they were amazing when he had
but
that
what
support.
Happened, you know.
Okay, there's a lot of things. You mentioned up Antonio Conte. There's reports in Italy, Repubblica says that he's the man that they want to lead the charge next year. Ibrahimovic is the one that's pushing it, and all of management agrees. You're not going to go first. Let's get Peter saying, sure. He's the man that built the foundation of your team. He did it with Juventus as well. And then Allegri and Inzaghi progressed from his team. But a lot of the spine comes from Conte's team. So he took you back. Do you think that he could do the same thing for Milan? And is he the guy?
Conte would be the guy to clean up shop and make sure the players that want to win, the players that want to be there, will stay. Everybody else will go. I think when you look at Conte, we know already what you're going to get. You know, players have to want to work for him. He's going to have a tactical discipline, and he's going to play his 3-5-2. That's his style. So now, if you're Milan and you're taking this...
He's eyeing up that decision, wine. He's like, I don't want to miss this opportunity.
This decision to get Conte, that means players that are going to be playing with Milan have to play his style and can fit his tactical approach. For me, Leao, unless he's being moved into those top two, does not fit in Conte's system.
But forget about it. We're saying if Leao, going according to the reports, if they would sell Leao, they have 150 million, 175 million, and then you get Conte in. So Leao's not part of that picture.
Yes. So Conte is the guy that is going to push to win the Scudetto. The only thing is he's there for a year, 2 years, and then he's going to fight with somebody.
Yeah, he's going to fight with the management, say, you didn't buy me the players, and then he's going to walk out of this contract, and he's going to be making all of this money and doing nothing.
Okay, but then at that point, you make the decision on someone else. Or you go after a Thiago Motta, Italiano, whoever it is, but you're not going to win immediately also, because they need to have that maturation year, similar to Inzaghi.
I think Thiago Motta is ready.
Like, you make it seem like Conte, he stays 1-2 years, you've gotten better then. He leaves his teams, most of the time, he leaves a team better than when he came.
I never said that he doesn't
know
better.
We're making it seem like he doesn't. He starts a fight, he gets this. But guess what? Juventus never would have built up to that team that went to the final like that.
Yes.
Your Inter would not have been built up without Conte building the foundation.
Of course, but I think he also has certain demands, and this Milan team, based on what they've done in the transfer market, are not going to spend more than what they make.
If you get 175 for Leao, you got plenty of money.
Who's going to trigger this? We're talking about 175. Do you think anyone's really going to trigger?
If Mbappe goes and they're stuck, he's the perfect guy. He's the perfect guy.
I just don't see it.
I'm not sure if PSG can invest that kind of money. You know what?
They're getting 400 million for Mbappe.
I know, but Gaetano, let me just say something. You know, Peter just brought it up. The transfer market is over. If AC Milan, because AC Milan added eyes on a few defenders and an extra strikers, okay? Now, if AC Milan was serious about keeping Pioli, they would have just improved the team a little better. Maybe a couple of a defender, a midfielder, a striker. They didn't do it. Maybe because Pioli, it's done. Pioli's done. That's why they don't want to buy anything. They don't want to give the opportunity to the upcoming coach or the manager to make his request and just go for it.
Okay.
Because you don't want to buy players right now while you are solidified on the third position with no threat coming from behind. What are you going to do? We're actually challenging the second spot to Juventus because Juventus, I think they're going to be able to stay up there.
So you're speaking about coaches changing, differences. We saw De Rossi and Roma today.
Yeah.
Again, 3 wins out of 3, 8 goals scored, 2 conceded. Yeah. They're playing against teams that it was laid up for him to be able to do this. But Mourinho did tie against Verona and Salernitana in the first match. He beat Cagliari 4-1. My question is, Pellegrini, 3 goals in 3 games, 1 assist. Before these last 3 games, under De Rossi, he had 2 goals all season in Serie A, I'm talking number-wise, no assists. So now he's already gone above that in 3 matches. Was Mourinho and his tactics holding Pellegrini back? And is De Rossi getting the most out of these players?
Definitely. Well, 100%.
I say yes, but there's also contingency. I think we all love De Rossi. I think most people love De Rossi. He just embodies that passion and that grinta that you love. But I feel like he definitely helps Pellegrini in the sense that De Rossi was captain, Pellegrini's the captain, and De Rossi doesn't play as conservative. They're teammates. He doesn't play as conservative as Mourinho does. So it's always going to give you some more freedom up front and be more attacking. But then again, usually the fact is when you sack a coach, you get a new coach, the team usually performs better. So that's what I think we're seeing now. And they're obviously fighting for De Rossi. It's not just a random coach they grab to save their season. So it's De Rossi,
it's also
right?
the communication from the team. And yeah. we had a quote from Dybala after the match. He said, De Rossi has gotten something out of us that we didn't show all season. He's brought enthusiasm to this team.
Chemistry.
And too. De Rossi also complimented Dybala when they asked him, where does Dybala play? He said, I played with Totti for 20 years. In the last 20 meters of the pitch, nobody ever told Totti what to do. Guys with that sort of talent, we need to just let
them
be.
Let him play.
So that's sort of the idea around De Rossi. Mm-hmm. What, how do you feel about this? Because you've been very calm. You don't want to say
no,
too much.
No, I think that's just talk because De Rossi is there. I love De Rossi, but that's just talk. What do you think? Mourinho does not know the value of Dybala? You think that Mourinho would have said to Dybala, what is he going to say to Dybala? He can't say anything. The guy he's got so much talent.
Okay, but focus on the way, you know, they're playing better football, it seems like, but they are have played against lower level teams.
They're playing better football because he's a new coach. There's the players, it's in the nature of, you change the coach, you want to show that you're, you know, that you're doing much better. And you're trying harder, maybe, and you're going 100 miles an hour. But as far as, I mean, they play Salernitana, Cagliari, and Verona. I think Mourinho could have gotten nine points.
He tied Cagliari. He tied Verona and Salernitana in the first round.
Okay, but now it's you know, now you're the season is a little bit more. You have the different players. Okay, you know,
they're giving many credit.
I do agree that the big challenge is what do you do in the big games, because that's where Mourinho's
right.
team always screwed
see.
Up.
Right. That's
and they have the big
see.
Test, which is Inter coming up, and Inter is not the fair test. It's not if he loses to Inter. Yeah, yeah. I mean, everybody's losing to Inter, so we can't say that, okay, it's all down the,
but it's performance.
Down the drain.
It is the performance.
But it's the other teams that we have to see how do they get results against them.
Mm-hmm. And one more thing. You know, in games with Salernitana, you could try better. You could try, you know, and be a little bit more forward and more and give more freedom. So that helped them too. I want to see him, you know, when he plays against Atalanta, how does he do when he plays
that's
against...
That's a good test,
yeah. Yeah,
you
know, for sure.
Listen, I got to tell you something.
Which Mourinho always struggled with. To be fair, Roma's Mourinho struggled in those games.
Yeah. Marco, I saw the game today. I see the fluidity of the game comparing with Mourinho. I mean, the game is fluid right now. Don't tell me that De Rossi all of a sudden, you know, injected this kind of a... confidence on the player, the ball moves and moves nicely. 1-2, 1-2, 1-2 passing. They're not guessing around. Don't tell me that they just learned to play soccer right now. With Mourinho, Roma had a bunch of players that were a bunch of stiffs that were afraid to make a mistake. They were tracking back or they were not doing the right thing at the right time. With De Rossi, it seems that everybody knows what they're supposed to do. Now, I mean, let me again say it again. Forget about it that they played those three teams. Those three teams that you've given hard time to some
that's
of the big guns in Serie A. So I don't think it's fair to be put it this way. Oh, it just played Salernitana, Cagliari, and Verona. That's not the point.
Agreed, but it's too quick to make a judgment.
I know. Well, what I'm saying is let's wait for the next couple games. You know, 3 weeks ago Roma was lurching almost this 8 or 9 place. Right now they're challenging fourth place.
The thing is that my problem with that argument is everybody's so close, right? Like Fiorentina was fourth place. They were just fourth place, and now they're all the way in 8th, 9th place. You can't just bank on that. Everybody's tight at that point of the season.
You can see it. You have the perception. While you're watching the game,
you
can see
games,
it.
You go back to 9th place.
Yeah. Look at Fiorentina. Fiorentina went from an unbelievable, oh my God, we could get Champions League football, to a month later, the fans are revolting. The fans are writing stuff about the ownership.
But on Toronto's point, I agree with him in the point that you can see that they do play more attacking, more football. With Mourinho, they had less possession playing against the bottom
but
half of the
team. But we need to see what they
also.
Do again in the big games.
No, I get that. But I'm saying just from the small sample size we saw, in terms of the football quality, I do feel like they did improve. They're not playing as defensive and as rigid.
What you got to say, P?
Personally...
about improvement of style of play, that's going to happen because Mourinho
is philosophy.
Allegri. Those are the type of teams that you're going to see on the field that's going to have their approach to the game. They're going to have their style of play. De Rossi comes in, obviously, with these smaller teams, not to have any disrespect against them, but you're going to have the quality of players to have possession, to try something a little bit different like Gaetano was alluding to. you know, and be able to have a little confidence if you get the goal early, which happened today. You get a goal quick, all of a sudden things are a lot more easier to break down and more fluid. Cagliari has to open up and you find the space. Roma always had the players. We were not here lying about players. Really? I mean, come on.
Well, good enough
when everybody's healthy.
Dybala, Lukaku. Okay, when everyone's healthy, for sure. I think the biggest thing with De Rossi is that he's coming to a place where he was, you know, king, prince to top.
Yeah, but that's a lot of pressure too. That has pressure
I'm not
too.
Saying that he doesn't have pressure, but he already lived through the pressure because he was always in Totti's shadow, you know, as a player.
Until he was
his time.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about
Capitano
that.
Capitano futuro,
Anto, come on. Come capitano, Anto. Ma non come leader Anto. Della squadra.
I'm not saying about leadership. I'm talking about who's the symbol of Rome.
Yeah. Oh, Totti. Of course.
It's not De Rossi. Yeah.
Of course.
So he always had to live in that shadow. That's true. And then when it was his time to take full reign, he obviously did what he had to do as a leader. So I think he was a given leader on the field.
For sure.
He's going to be a given leader off the field. You know, Giuseppe Rossi had him as a coach with Spal. Things didn't turn out the way they were supposed to. But in the locker room, he created an unbelievable bond, which left certain players to tears when he had to go. Mm.
Even in Azzurri, though, too. So, Azzurri camp, right?
Correct. So that goes to show you the type of person that De Rossi is on the management side.
As a person,
you know,
I even listened to his interview afterwards. And, you know, the journalist tried to bait him a little bit to say something bad about Mourinho. You know, they brought up the numbers. Yeah. Oh, look, you started winning games when Mourinho didn't. He stayed so humble. He's like, listen, don't compare me to Jose Mourinho. Mourinho won way more games at Roma than I did. Like, he just got that level of respect, which everybody, if you know De Rossi,
he's
you know
humble.
It.
He's humble.
It's a factor that's, like, refreshing to listen to from a coach. But
that's a pedigree of a champion. Because if you're a champion, you know. Yeah, he's a gentleman, too.
For me, the biggest thing has been Pellegrini. That's been the biggest thing. Yeah. This kid was an amazing player before Mourinho and has struggled. Maybe it happens.
First
year coach doesn't see a coach doesn't see a player or responsibilities do not match what he wants to do as far as the fluidity of a game or being able to be free to play a certain style. And with De Rossi, I think he's given him the full confidence to say, hey, you're from Rome, Pellegrini. You're Romano. This is your team.
Yeah,
you have to be the guy that leads this team. You know what it means to wear the Roma shirt.
But that's what Mourinho can't say because he experienced
different
the same
experience.
Thing. No, that's what I'm saying. That's why I feel like you really hit home.
But it's also no disrespect to Mourinho.
No,
Mourinho
just
in the locker
can't relate.
Room
it's
is
different.
The same type of coach. I think ultimately what happens is when you're there too long or for a certain amount of time, it's hard to hear the same voice over and over again.
My dad has stayed so quiet here. He's like, I'm gonna calculate all of you guys. I'm gonna remember everything that you said. And the first time that they lose a big game, he's gonna remember. I started off. You want to add something?
No, I remember what he said about Pellegrini, what Mourinho said about Pellegrini. He loved Pellegrini.
He said he wished he had 11 of them at one point.
That's what he said.
His first year was amazing.
So,
he was holding that in on you guys.
Yeah. Anyway.
But why?
Listen, let me just say. No, Gaetano, I want to prove you. I want to prove you a point that is right. In a way that is.
He didn't give an opinion. But he just said the fact that what Mourinho said is not right or wrong.
Let me say something. On the flip side of what we've been saying about De Rossi, do you think that I'm very happy the way AC Milan is playing right now with Pioli winning dirty?
Nobody cares about Milan right
I
now.
Do.
We're not talking about Milan.
No,
we're talking about Milan. We're moving on to the next team.
All right, here you go.
This guy. How does he bring Milan back into this?
Let's talk about...
This is IFTV.
I have a question for you guys. I asked you at the beginning of the podcast, who is the most improved player this year? Mm. And I had a name. One person got it. One person got it after a couple tries. I have one more question. Who is the most underrated player? I have a name in mind. What do you guys say?
Which team?
this is like Family Feud. There's underrated. No right answers. Only my answers.
Leao.
What do you understand what underrated means?
Underrated.
Doesn't get the recognition he deserves.
Yeah. Mkhitaryan for me.
Underrated.
This guy might be the most underrated player in the world.
Oh my God.
In the world.
Right now.
Oh. Wow.
Is he a big guy? What
is
he?
What color is his eyes?
What position? What position does he play?
Is
he a goalkeeper? You can say whatever you think.
I was
going to
say.
Go. Just go out there.
Underrated.
Who you thinking? Who's your goalkeeper?
Danilo.
No, please.
Wrong.
You guys can throw out a name or should I just?
Throw out a name.
I throw out two. Come on.
All right. The guy that I'm thinking of. Isak Khan, Çalhanoğlu.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah, now you say it, right?
That's what I was going to say.
Why it's underrated? That's because not underrated.
Nobody really talks about Hakan Çalhanoğlu in world
that's
football.
That's wrong.
He was.
It's not underrated. It's not underrated.
I know Pavard was given the man of the match in the game, and Pavard was fantastic. But I thought Hakan was even better.
No, he's very
the
good,
one man. Ball that he gave to DiMarco is obviously the one that went around on social media where Bremer did well to stop Turan from scoring. But it's the way that he's transformed from a player that I really didn't like. When he was at Milan, I didn't like him. I said, what the hell? What are you going to do with this player? He was playing in a different position as an attacking midfielder. I felt like he was never consistent enough. He moved into this role. He signed on a free transfer. And boy, you would find it, it's hard to find any player that's better than him as a deep-lying midfielder.
The Pirlo
right
effect.
One thing I have to say, because I was going to say Çalhanoğlu, but then I thought a lot of the coaches, you know, when you read, a lot of the coaches, they give him, maybe not the fans, maybe not, but the coaches, they see him, what he does for the team. And when you talk about the midfield, hey, what was the big thing yesterday? The midfield. And who's in the midfield? It's Akam, Miki, and Barella. But, you know, Akam is a big part of it.
Yeah.
What you think, Pete? How happy are you to have him?
I mean, he's transformed since his days from Milan to Inter. It's only right. He's taken the leadership role of this Inter midfield. I think a lot of success comes from him. And I mean, even yesterday's game, when there was a time to push, he was the one to push the needle. When it was a time to control and settle in and just make sure to shuffle everybody and get everybody in the right position, he was the one to do it. I think we know what he can do with his shots. They're lethal. He's not close enough to score the 10 goals in the game, but he's, you know, perfect in penalty kick taking. So he's a guy that's decisive, knows when to make his mark. And ultimately, what has been a real, real positive point for Inter in this midfield is the fact that defensively he's an animal. Like, he'll go into the challenge, he'll try to win the ball.
Yeah.
So this is a type of player that was a winger / 10, didn't have a high work rate, to now being one of the best sixes, you know, central midfielder for in world football.
And be correct if I'm wrong real quick, but I think he only went there because Brozovic was out. Brozovic
got injured.
Was it because of that, or they wanted to try something different?
No, Brozovic was injured, right? And they switched Çalhanoğlu into that midfield, which also ironically was a similar thing that happened to Brozovic, because Brozovic also was a more of an
attacking
eight,
right?
Yeah, midfielder, yeah. And he got into.
But same thing with Pirlo too. When he was at Milan, and he went to Juventus, right? They dropped him deeper.
From Inter to Milan.
Ancelotti
put him in front of the defense.
There we go. Okay.
The thing that I kept thinking, because I watched that video of his pass like a million times, and then I was on TikTok and I was scrolling and I had these two American guys arguing, what's harder, football, American football, or soccer, or real football?
And this is the same motion for soccer.
Did I? Whatever. And I think that, I really think, and I don't just say this just for like an American person that doesn't watch the sport, not that. In general, in sport-wise, I don't think we give enough credit to how difficult the sport of football is, like our sport. You got to think about a million different things at the same time. Also, that ball, he's running at full speed. He's got to hit it with the perfect amount of velocity. He's got to know that DiMarco is going to be running into the same position. You have to know the angle that you're going to hit it. You also, if you hit it over a little bit, the play is dead. If you hit it under a little bit, the defender's going to get the ball. The play is dead. There are all these different things. And then you got to use your feet, which naturally we use our hands a lot more. That's for a normal person. Using your feet is difficult just to be coordinated. I know this is a different type of rant, but for some reason when I was watching this, I said, we don't give enough credit to how difficult this sport really is.
Yeah, if you want to see like the dead plays, you usually watch like Milan's plays or how they turn out.
Thanks, Mike.
What do you guys think?
And you watch.
No, it is difficult.
He's technically one, you know, the cleanest guy to ever hit the ball. I mean, even when he strikes a ball from distance, the swerve on the ball, the effect that he's able to give, and then his range of motion. I think that's what even gives him the quality over Brozovic, because Brozovic, you know, he can hit this, he can swing a ball, but he'll never be able to cut through and be able to hit that through ball and you know, break the lines at that rate or that style. I mean, Çalhanoğlu has the opportunity, if he sees it, to put the man on goal.
You know, that begs the question now. You're getting Zielinski at the end of the season.
Great business.
You got Mkhitaryan.
Great business.
Hold on. He's gonna
great
say
business. You got Mkhitaryan. Where is Milan? They're sleeping. You got,
because you're stealing.
Yeah, stealing. What's stealing?
Okay, you got Mkhitaryan. You got Barella.
Free.
You got Frattesi. Okay, you paid for it.
Oh, we paid for it. Okay, yeah.
Now you're gonna get Zielinski, and you get Calhanoglu.
Isn't that so? Something
is gonna give. Who's gonna be sitting on the bench?
No, there's gonna be a rotation. Sure.
Why don't you give us Frattesi? We'll take Frattesi.
But Frattesi is next in line.
Oh, next in line to what? To who? To come in for
Barella.
To Barella? I don't think so.
Possible.
I don't think so.
Anyway, let's talk about the game, shall we? The match, the Derby d'Italia. Mm-hmm. You want to start us off? What do you think about the game?
So I saw an Inter team that is above the Juventus team in every aspect of the game. I think that the midfielder made a big difference in this game. I mean, the midfield is really, really good. And they have 5-6 chances to score. I saw Juventus, you know, going back and trying to defend. And Inter really is the team for this year. I don't think anybody can catch them. The Campionato is not over yet, but it's going to be very difficult for anybody to catch this team. They playing with their eyes closed. They know where everybody is. Defensively, they're good. Midfield is good. Forwards, they're good.
Goalkeeper is good too. I saw a tweet somebody said the 775,000 spectator plus, you know, summer. In other words,
because he didn't have to do anything.
He didn't have to do anything. Nobody, actually challenged
that,
him.
By the way.
That's a lot thanks to the defense they has in front of him, who is unbelievable. I mean, when you read 14 shutouts, obviously in 22 is amazing, but only 10 goals conceded. 10 goals conceded in 22 games. 51 goals scored. Go.
I was going to say, the style of play that we have.
Which is going forward, which is a lot of times you'll see Bastoni running down the left wing and spot crosses. And crossing the ball in. Yeah. But it's also, the game plan was extremely obvious, and it's exactly what we expected, where Juventus were going to try to hit out on the counterattack, right? We knew what it was going to be. But even in those moments, you see every single Inter player running back and getting into position and sacrificing for themselves. So the way that they're built, it's everything that we already know, and it's the beauty, and we've truly watched Simone Inzaghi transform from his time at Lazio to Inter, but then also his last 2-3 years at Inter, we've seen a completely different style of coaching where it's been mature, it's been getting the job done, it's been winning in different ways. This one was more corto muso. The only hole I could pick in Inter, which, of course, no team in the world is perfect, is you guys miss a lot of chances compared to as many as you create. Mm-hmm. And if Dusan Vlahovic scores that opportunity, which was really the only chance for
that's not a real chance.
That's outside the box. It's not something that they created. The one with Dusan Vlahovic was the big chance. It's what you wait all game for, because you're not going to be given a lot against the Inter side. Yeah. And Juventus, on that moment, they're not able to play up to that par. If they score that goal and it's 1-1, you have a or 1-0, actually, it would have been.
It is tougher. And plus, I think, who was who Barella scuffed that chance, like right in front, which was another huge opportunity. And Thuram, who got a great tackle from Bremer. I believe what it was.
Oh, but missed four goals right in front.
No, well, Szczesny also made amazing saves.
Inzaghi also said there was some great goalkeeping on that. I just want to say really quickly that I agree with whatever you guys said. Inter just, I think the biggest thing is, compared to the past seasons, whenever Inter playing a big game, they were favorites to win, but this season, they're confident in them. They know that they're that team. They know you have that confidence behind them. They're not playing to their opponent. They're like the other players. They don't have to change their tactics to their opponent. They play their same philosophy with every single team. And really? I feel like they know they're that good.
I feel like
they just seem so confident on the ball.
I feel like the thing about them that I've really loved is if you look at the last three games, which were all 1-0 wins, they were kind of different.
Very different.
Like the one against Napoli, they knew Napoli sat back, they defended, and they had to break down a low block. Then the one against Fiorentina, they hit on the counterattack, which are devastating at doing that. And in this game, it was a mix of both, but it was more so trying to break down the low block. So they've shown that they can, no matter who they come up against, they have a game plan. Juventus' game plan and Allegri's game plan with this current team is one fold. There's no plan B.
You can't concede.
There's no second option. And I think that Juventus are way below the standards, like what you said, in every single mark. They are below, and you have to admit that Inter is way better. And this is a younger team. It's more of a year zero for the team, for the squad. And I think Juventus did well, considering all things considered, with the game that they played.
In
right?
all fairness, the last 20 minutes, Juventus played very well.
The only thing is, I felt like they could have pushed.
But Inter had the chances to score.
I know, but Juventus, they took the game to them, and they challenged.
They had to.
Allegri could have pushed. I thought at 45th minute at halftime, I expected to myself, you know, you have 45 minutes to play for the Scudetto. Yes, it's not decisive, but it pretty much is, because now you're waiting and hoping for Inter to slip up. Yeah. I thought for the last 45 minutes, he could have pushed on the leg of the handbrake a little bit and let the team go and you play. You lose 2-3-0, okay, that's fine. But at least you go.
We were waiting too long. Chiesa to be plugged in around the 15 minutes on the second half, because this is your only chance, like you say. And Chiesa came in what? In this, maybe...
I think 66 minutes. Yeah. I'll double check.
He played 25 minutes, no more than that.
You know, that's the only argument I have. You know, I was watching Kostic. Like, a guy like Kostic is one of the most frustrating players for me personally to watch. He's so one-dimensional.
Yildiz didn't play well either.
Yildiz didn't play well.
It's hard to play against Inter, it's so difficult.
This game was emblematic of the season. Inter are 10 times the better team of Juventus, but they only won 1-0. So Juventus is going to be there in the long run. Because ultimately what matters is that there's 15 more games to play, and Inter are going to be in Champions League, and Juventus have only Serie A to worry about. So Allegri could play all the mind tricks that he wants. Mm. Ultimately, it's 4 points. I don't consider the next game four points.
What about the game on end?
We have to versus Atalanta. Is that a sure 3 points for you?
It's a sure 3 points.
I don't think so.
It's in Milano, right?
I don't know exactly. But ultimately, even if it's in Milano or not, you cannot say it's a guaranteed 3 points versus Atalanta the way they're playing.
And this month of Champions League.
Yeah.
And but this is your tough schedule.
No, of course.
This was the start with Fiorentina, Roma, Juventus, and then Atletico, Salernitana. And also, you went through a moment where, I remember, there was times you didn't have three center backs. You had three different center backs. So you did go through a tough moment, and you came out unscathed.
For sure. But there's still 50 more games.
Yeah, there's still time.
And
you still have to... Champions League, too.
You have Champions League to focus on. So...
Pitcher, not a laugh right now.
No, but the thing is, Inter is a better team. Does the better team always win the Scudetto? No. So it's going to be going into the little details. And
what's Santo going
to
say?
Allegri knows how to grind out results. Inzaghi has shown that he can grind out results, but there's still a long way to go say that Inter won or whatever. Because ultimately, you could be the best team. You only won 1-0 yesterday. And we dominated Juventus. We should have easily won 3-0.
It's going according to plan. Yeah, okay. It's going according to plan for Inter right now.
Okay, but things change. Month to month. Things change.
I agree, but so far, they've passed every test with
Mike. There's still more tests.
You know what pisses me off the most?
He's downplaying everything.
It's that the conduttore over here keeps praising Inter. It's like, you know, they've been winning with nobody. Their bench is loaded with the national team players. It's not that they're doing something unusual.
What is Milan? You have no national team players?
Give me a break. We don't have anybody.
I had a stat that I was waiting to bring up.
You have nobody on your team. Give me a break. You guys have three national teams sitting on the bench. And now all of this praise, Inter, this, did it. It's at the least that you should be expecting a team like that to do.
Okay.
But you know why?
Because Inter is smarter than all of those other teams.
What do you mean smarter? Because they buy people.
No. It's not about buying. Everybody
buys.
You want to know how much Inter costs to build their squad? Fifth in the Serie A. Juve's team, Napoli, Milan, and Atalanta all spent more money buy those players than Inter did on theirs. Juventus spent $457 million on the team. Inter spent $225 million. So it's not about buying players. It's about... brain power, IQ, being smart.
But then Marotta,
they built a team. Yeah. How many of these guys? Okay, I have another list. They sold Lukaku, Dzeko, Skriniar, Onana, Brozovic, Gosens, Perisic, Hakimi. They brought in free transfers that people were like, what are you doing? Hakan Çalhanoğlu, inconsistent player at Milan. Darmian, Acerbi.
Mkhitaryan.
Even Summer, Mkhitaryan. All players that beforehand, we said that they were not the greatest of players. But they put them in the system. You got to give credit, Anto. We can't take away that.
And also, Inzaghi's been there 3 years. Allegri's been in Juventus 3 years. Do you see the difference of how the Inter plays and the style of play? and what
different philosophies too, right?
Okay, different philosophies, yes, but the results also are what count. But
Juventus have a lot less experienced players within this current squad. It's a younger coach, also a younger players within the system.
Yes,
but last year they went through a lot of
Yildiz, everybody else has played with Juventus for at least 2 years.
Yeah, there is. I'm not disagreeing. I think that Juventus have misspent on a lot of guys, and they have a lot of players who are not performing to the level. Like, even for me, Rabiot and Locatelli were awful in this match. And you look at guys that you got for free that have performed even better than that.
But right now, they're two different positions. Allegri came in to stable Juventus because they were coming through a bad time. Inzaghi came in to win. I think that's a huge thing. Juventus came from a losing streak after winning 9 in a row, and then now it's Inter's time to do that, and that's what Inzaghi's doing.
But
I
also
think,
Juventus
right?
spent 150 million. Acerbi is the one that said it. You know, you spend on Vlahovic.
Yeah, yeah.
You spend on this new kid now, Alcaraz, that's coming up. Yeah. So you're not
Alcaraz.
All right, but okay. They the other guys that they spent?
They spent $3 million on a loan.
Okay, and there's options.
They got Chiesa. They got Bremer.
Bremer.
And
so you spend money. No, you spend those money to
and
be
also,
fourth place.
Wage wise, they spend a lot of money on wages
so
for their players.
They also were you buying these players
cost,
to win the
Locatelli
Scudetto?
Locatelli cost like $35 million. Yeah, about $40 million. And you're playing him as a regista that he has no. He's lost all the qualities to go forward.
So this kid here, Alcaraz, is not related to the
no.
tennis player.
No, different nationality.
Hey, by the way, you know the last podcast we totally forgot about Sinner. Sinner is the
Yannick.
Deal. Yannick is the Milanocchiello.
We need more guys like him. Italians like him.
It's from AC Milan, and he's got a red stare exactly like mine.
He's got red hair. Do you have red hair?
Can I red hair before I decided to go maintenance free?
Can he play for AC Milan?
I hope so. He goes to Milanello.
Why don't you go Pioli and tell him?
Pioli, please.
Either way, please. To tie a bow on this, I think that you said it well. Juventus need to do well at staying close, staying tight, staying focused, and hoping for a slip up.
Pounce on the opportunity.
Inter. Yeah, you got to be ready. Yeah, stay close until too. May.
On hope
and you see what happens. Yeah. You see what
hope
happens.
Hope you're not injured on Barella or no. Lautaro or whatever.
Why do you always say that?
That's his only hope to grasp. Instead of spending time on
the camera. I don't mean injuries in a very bad thing. In other words, they spend time with the family and watching the game from the TV. And, you know,
this
we try
Antonio's
to catch
opinion,
up.
Not
Antonio's
on the field,
opinion
right?
Also.
Not on the field.
I have one last question.
Like a little pool of muscle here. Yeah.
I have one last question
sniffles,
for you.
Little sniffles.
Huh?
Little sniffles.
Sniffles. What's a
like
sniffle, Mike?
Stuffy nose.
Oh, stuffy nose. All right, that's fine with me.
Who fell off more from last year? Lazio? Or Napoli?
Oof. No, Napoli. Come on.
I would say Lazio because they were second.
Lazio was in second place, but Napoli was in first place. Yeah, I'd say Napoli.
So?
Yeah, Napoli.
Napoli.
I don't know. I would say Lazio. The game has totally changed on one player. On Savic
Napoli
leaving.
Has so many points.
Oh my God.
Napoli back like 30 points from the last season. They took a dive.
No, I think it's Napoli. Napoli, just the way that they approach every game is completely changed.
So, I like how Anto's this thing is always different from everyone else's. always on everything.
I like that, Mike. That's thank good. You. It's a compliment. I'll take it.
That's good.
Either way, this is a segue
what's
to talk.
What's yours?
No, for me, it's not for me.
I was trying to pick
I wanted to agree with it just to go against it. And some of the replacements that they brought in to try to change things around, to try to get fourth place in this transfer market, their game was, they had a hectic game against Verona where they were down by one goal. You said it well that at least Quadra came back and he scored first goal since December 16th for him, but it's not been the same. It's not the Napoli that we got used to. They brought in Engonge, who he didn't get the goal, but he was involved in basically getting the goal. He took the shot.
He scored the first goal.
I think they called it off. They called it own
really?
Goal.
For City the has, equalizer?
Yes.
Wow.
Ah, damn.
But it was very much his goal.
It's on a target, no?
I'm pretty sure.
I'm giving it to him.
I saw on Serie A's website that they gave an
get
own
out
goal.
Of here.
I mean, these guys are tight with their goals.
Yeah, that was on target. He
I
was
think
five,
De Laurentiis
was
didn't
want to
give a bonus.
From a goal.
De Laurentiis didn't want to give the bonus.
That's right.
That's funny. That's funny.
I'll find it. I'll find out afterwards. What do you guys think? Can they get fourth place still?
Not
were the were the signings that they brought in enough?
Yeah, it's gonna be tough. It's gonna be tough.
You know, the last match day is gonna be crazy. We're gonna buy another few TVs for the studio.
Mm. What do you say, Gaetano?
You know what's tough? I think because they have the players. I think it's mentality. Tough is, it's just the confidence is not there. Yesterday, I mean, they had so many chances to score, and they made the goalkeeper look like, oh my God, it was Buffon.
That guy
was saving everything.
Yeah, they gave an own goal.
Wow. That's a shame.
That's
a shame.
Oh, man. I don't know. To me, Mazzarri does not have it to keep this team, you know, to make him play and give him some confidence to go back and play the way they used to know how to play. You know, Mazzarri's there. We're losing, to Frosinone.
What am I having for dinner tonight, right?
No extra topping on the pizza for you. That's it. You got regular margarita.
Then he starts talking to himself, you know. That's the kind of guy that Mazzarri is. He's I'm thinking, you know, now the camera is going to show that he's talking to somebody. There's nobody there.
No, maybe he's talking. He's talking on the phone. He's got to hear the ear plug.
He's a nice guy. I think he's a very nice guy. You know, but
he's a nice guy.
He's not for this thing. He's not.
Also a nice guy.
He's gonna be the coach until the end of the season.
At this point,
I think for Mazzarri, he knew already. This was till June, it's just another way.
Just a caretaker.
If he does great, then somebody else would be interested in him because he's lost his stock a little bit. But Napoli, unfortunately,
being generous.
But Napoli, unfortunately, I think fourth place is a really tall task.
That's all they can ask for.
The only thing that, you know, I think what would be necessary at all costs is Osimhen coming back and
saving it.
All guns firing.
He's doing very good with Nigeria.
And then he gets sold.
Well, he wants to play there. I don't know how much he wants to be in Naples these days.
He decided at the end of the summer that he's. But he's not going to continue.
Paul Zielinski also, right?
Zielinski is excluded. He got excluded from the Champions League list because he's agreeing a deal. To be fair, we thought that this could have happened even before. I remember with Milik, he excluded him the entire year because he didn't renew. So that's De Laurentiis' method. Is it going to be
a good one
come the end of the season where, you know, you've got this. Zielinski is a top player.
But let's think about it. Is ADL, I understand he's mad at him, but aren't you shooting yourself in the foot? Because he's going to benefit Napoli at the end of the day. So why are you doing it? I get it. You're bitter. But he can still help Napoli.
He says he doesn't want to continue with a player that we know is not going to be there next year.
He can make the difference between top four and not.
I would think so.
Whatever, personally.
I'm not disagreeing with that.
But this
opinion is
the extra excuse that Mazzarri needs to say, you know,
this is not a Mazzarri decision.
I know, but that's an extra excuse for Mazzarri to say, hey, worst comes to worst. Osimhen, he was on the Copa d'Africa, he came back, he was with his head already somewhere else, and Zielinski has been excluded by the list of the champions.
You're just saying another excuse to add to the list?
But
he's not going to continue anyway.
You're not going to be screaming, he's going to be talking to himself, and he'll be on the sideline, and that would be it.
Let's hit Lazio, since they were the other team. Can we agree at least that they're the second biggest team?
They're not doing well.
They, especially in attack, my gosh, I was looking
defense
at
too, though.
I was looking at their numbers.
They're one of the best.
No, they had now they've conceded 23 goals. 23 goals after 22 rounds is not.
What were they
a
last
goal,
season?
They were one of the top. But what they've really struggled with is goal scoring. They're tied in 11th for most goals with Lecce and Genoa. Okay. And when you share a stat with Lecce and Genoa, let me tell you, it's not going to be a good one.
Unless it's for the
they only have 25 goals in the entire season. And when I was looking up their top goal scorers, I could not believe that. I thought it was a mistake. I was reading Immobile with 4 goals. Now he's got 5 because he scored. But that's their top goal scorer.
What a penalty.
They have no
was.
Production from a lot of their big players. Felipe Anderson, Luis Alberto, Immobile, Zaccagni's been out.
Pedro, right?
It has been nightmare Castellano, situation.
Right? Starting over there and stuff.
But I wouldn't put him as like the reference point. Like I'm saying, like the big players
but he took
that
his,
should be
but
there.
But he took his spot though, right?
But like the big guys, the guys that are supposed to turn up for them that have in the
guys,
past season.
How much is Milinkovic-Savic moving to Saudi Arabia? How big was he now looking at it?
I don't think he's too happy in Saudi right now. He's trying to come back.
Not on Lazio. Maybe he's going to go somewhere else.
No, you're saying Lazio.
Yeah?
That's a rumor.
Why wouldn't he? That benefits both at the end of the day, right?
But either way, whatever. Now we're just playing fantasy land. Yeah. Who is down to blame on this one? Is it Lotito, the ownership, with the way that they've handled the transfer market, with the way that the club has been? Or does it come down to Maurizio Sarri? Because it felt like they turned the corner.
Yeah. After the derby, we're talking about how they turned over a new leaf. And then after a few games, just like this cruel sport
it's
of
gonna be
culture.
Us with Leao.
You win two games, you're the hero. You lose two games, they want you out. It's crazy.
What the hell happened to Ciro Immobile? The guy, he was the leading scorer for a couple of years, and now he's not even starting.
Sarri wants
injury problems.
Well, that and also they're changing the tactics.
He played in the second half.
But he hasn't had the consistency that he used to have. He was a player that was always there.
Because he doesn't score.
He's dealt with injuries too. I'm not justifying
But Sarri brought in how Tati Castellanos has a different dynamic than Immobile. He plays more with the midfield.
That's a perfect example. Sarri, I remember in the summer, didn't want Tati Castellanos. He wanted Sanabria from Torino.
Yeah.
And we already could smell that. You could see the writing on the wall. I remember this so perfectly. Lotito said, Sarri does not decide the players. Sarri tells me what position he wants, and I tell him what player he could get. Sarri gave him a list of guys. I want Sanabria. I want this. I want that. And then Lotito said, no. Lazio, we don't do that. You get this player.
Listen. I would not put the full blame on Lotito.
Now, if the president is going to tell you, the coach wants a certain player, hey, you gotta get the.
So if the coach tells him, I want Mbappe, what is
the problem? We're talking about Sanabria. Don't go to Mbappe. Yeah. But then there's definitely a balance because every coach wants a certain player.
Of course.
But then the club has to say, does this guy fit our long-term future? Yeah.
But you sit down in your office and you discuss it about it, and then you go to the press conference and you don't tell.
True.
His job. Yeah, you're telling him you're not going to be doing part of your job. Right. You can't say that.
Right. Yeah, it doesn't look good.
Yeah.
True. What do you think, Pete?
No, but I think Lazio also last year in a sense overachieved because I think other teams were focused on other Champions League, Milan, Inter,
and Europe.
Everybody was kind of looking at in Europe, right? So I think they had the chance to just continue to climb up the ladder, and they happened to find themselves in second place. Sarri, for me, he disappointed. I think he's been disappointing because I thought, with time, these players
are
know
gel.
His system,
yeah,
know
I agree.
How he plays, and even when you lose, you're gonna lose playing Sarri ball. But I've seen a completely different Sarri with this Lazio team. I think he's never really had the locker room or hold of this team. Could it be also Lotito and his approach to transfer market or just how things are run in Lazio? But I feel if that was the case as well, I think Sarri also says, you know what? I'm packing my bags. I'm leaving.
At the end of the year.
Juventus,
But if he doesn't do good here, where else could he buy? He's not going to go higher than Lazio now. Listen, his stock's going down, right?
He won his Scudetto.
But he doesn't care about that.
I don't think he really...
But Mike, he's not a coach that cares about that. He doesn't care about that at all. He even said I think he would actually prefer taking over, like, let's say Fiorentina.
Again.
For example, Fiorentina is a realistic option if Italiano would leave, or Bologna,
too, right?
Whoever's going to lose a player. I think Sarri is going to be even more happy
there
because players are going to listen to him. He doesn't like the guys that, number one, he doesn't like the pressure of having to win. He likes to develop youngsters. He likes time. He likes to build his style. He doesn't want the demands of having to win right now. And his biggest thing is his training sessions are notoriously, for big players, boring. Right? They're meticulous. They practice the same thing for hours, and that was one of the problems at Juventus. He won't have that at a smaller team. So I don't think he'll be mad at the level.
It might be early in his career, but we'll see. We'll see what happens.
There's
still a lot of time at the end of the season.
He's old.
He's not a player.
Sarri's old.
Look at Ranieri.
Lazio downfall for me.
He's 65.
Lazio downfall for me.
65, exactly.
He's a coach. He'll be fine. How's Gasperini?
Lazio downfall is Sarri. He started leaving from the organization. Tare
from the top, yeah.
He was the real.
And why did he leave?
Rain. I don't know.
There's a reason why.
You draw your own conclusion, but
Since when do you let somebody else draw a conclusion?
You had a lot of wine, bro.
Yo, guys, one last thing let's talk about before we end. Italy is coming to the United States of America. We're playing two friendly matches. The first one on the 21st, March 21st, versus Venezuela in Miami.
Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah, it's Fort Lauderdale.
Hello.
Let's
see what we say on this
New
one. The second game is going to be March 24th versus Ecuador in New York.
New Jersey.
That's right.
You're one of those guys, huh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right, so where's the World Cup final going to be taking place?
The Meadowlands.
What's...
What stay?
Red Bull Stadium.
What stay?
No, it's not MetLife.
MetLife.
No, it's not MetLife.
What's that?
Yeah, it's MetLife.
Giant Stadium.
It's New York, New Jersey Stadium. They changed the name.
New York, New Jersey. Oh, wow, wow.
Really?
Yeah, very happy.
Yeah, they did.
Oh, wow. New York, New Jersey.
So the World Cup.
So they can have it in the same New Jersey.
So they're not confused.
I love that.
So they're not confused.
Since when they changed the name?
Thank you for the World Cup.
Tonight, yesterday.
They didn't do it yet. In six hours, it took a lot of work. At midnight.
Yo, but a lot of people get mad.
I'm done. We're gonna bring your Uber back home.
Yo, a lot of people get mad. Like the people from New Jersey, they get mad that they write New York. But I mean, they should be lucky. People from New Jersey should be lucky.
They got two teams from New York playing in New Jersey. They have no teams.
But you know, New Jersey would never get it. If they weren't close to New York, New Jersey would never get it. So they should thank New York.
Of course.
People are coming for New York.
They'd have the same chance of North Carolina.
Yeah, for real. You know what it's kind of like? I was thinking about this. It's like if you have a storage facility elsewhere. You know, we have small apartments. You don't have a lot of room for stuff. Yeah. Like we put it in New Jersey, but people are coming. Because of New York.
Of course.
At the end of the day. So, for sure. And I heard, I don't know if it's true or not, I saw a tweet from Christine Kupo, shout out to her, that New York and New Jersey actually split the costs for the World Cup. So that's why it's in New York, New Jersey.
Right. And when the people come to watch a World Cup, where do you think they're going to stay? They're going to stay in New York City and in Manhattan. That's where they're going to stay.
What do they have in New Jersey? The W's a little bit over there?
No. The W's.
Hoboken?
Hoboken and Jersey City.
Jersey City. No, they got nice areas there.
But that's like not real Jersey.
But people come for Manhattan. Yeah. People want to stay in Manhattan.
Let's just set that record straight for everybody that gets mad when
we should set up little cots in the studio.
Little tents.
Airbnb.
Little what?
That's right.
Anyway.
That's
what right. What
do you say? Folks, we're looking for tickets for the World Cup final.
Oh, World Cup final? We're looking for tickets. We've already made a couple moves.
Yeah.
We're trying.
We're trying to make phone calls.
Mike, we have
to anyone that's organizing, hit us up. We want to be involved. Do whatever it takes to be there. Do stuff.
Steward. He could be a steward for the final.
A steward?
The final.
You can be a stew too, Pete. Stew gods.
You're steward. You're stomp, right?
Yeah, I'm stomp. You could be like...
Stomp me.
Yeah. I did that purposely.
I think the wine needed this time.
Oh my God.
We're going to press record.
Okay, you're as ready as the wine.
We're going to have to cut this.
No, we're going to leave it in. But also for Italy, what happened?
No, on the last thing, you New Jersey do something for Italy?
Yeah, for Italy, we're waiting to find out about tickets. We're waiting to hear what's going to happen. We're hearing murmurings, but we want to be involved. We want to try to promote because we want an Italy section in the stadium in Red Bull Arena. We're all going to go, obviously.
Yeah,
I'm definitely going to Miami. Yeah. That's what we're talking about going. So we'll keep you guys updated on our social medias when we find out stuff about tickets.
And according to Pete, you know, you better get your tickets fast because the Ecuadorians say they sell out MetLife.
Yeah. That's true.
I went to Greece, Ecuador friendly. I believe it was MetLife. Oh my, it was a sea of yellow and then the specks of blue everywhere.
How many you went with the blue? Yeah, the speck of blue?
No. What do you think? No, it was yellow.
I don't know. It was yellow?
Okay. It was all yellow.
That's Coldplay. A good song. We're going to get comedy.
How many Greeks were there?
A total of like 18. No. It was all Ecuadorian and just random blue patches.
Okay, so Italians, we have to be able to show off to this game.
There's a lot of Ecuadorians.
Otherwise,
in New York,
they're never
going to
come back. Italy's never going to come back.
Yeah. We're going to have a curva.
Yeah, we should have the curva. Yeah. We'll choose one section. So stay up to date. Antonio's losing his mind. The wine has gone to his head. Guys, as always, thank you for watching. We'll talk to you soon.
And Forza?
Forza Italia.